Having a kid, you are no longer the biggest priority in your life. That whenever you make a big decision in your life, you think about someone else first. You think about your kids first and you second. And that's a very profound and fundamental change, that is, of course, a natural and normal thing that happens.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm very happy to have Chris Williams. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Chris. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to it.
Looking forward to chatting with you, of course, about the Sea Beast. Congrats on that. But I love talking, obviously, the Art of Fatherhood. We're going to talk a little about fatherhood. When you found out you're going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, my gosh. Boy, you're taking me taking me back. Boy, I guess it was so many emotions all at once, right? You instantly, you feel overwhelmed, you feel excited. And there's a sense, you, at least for me, that I knew that my life was going to be changed dramatically. And as we've gone on to raise two kids, it's you realize one of the key differences is at one point you were the biggest priority in your life. And then post having a kid, you are no longer the biggest priority in your life. That whenever you make a big decision in your life, you think about someone else first. You think about your kids first and you second. And that's a very profound and fundamental change that is, of course, a natural and normal thing that happens.
No doubt. Yeah, totally agree with you, sir. I've got two daughters. And yeah, it's just you go from the thing about maybe you and your partner, and then all of a sudden it's like, everything it revolves around them, which is good, right? And so you want it to be that way. You're very creative, great storytelling. So I know, like, the idea of like being creative and looking at things from a different perspective are probably values you're looking to instill into, you know, you look to instill into them. But what were some of the other values?
Yeah, well, I think you hit on one that was really critical, this idea to look at things differently. We had three generations of hunters represented in the movie, and the youngest generation is the one that's is the most nimble in their thinking, the most able to adapt to new ideas and change their mind. And we have a young character that's very driven towards going towards what she thought was the right thing, but her sense of right and wrong evolves quite a bit over the course of the story. And then she ends up kind of dragging other generations along with her. And so that was one of the big ideas that we talked about when developing the story. He also talked about just this notion of this cycle of aggression and cycle of violence and revenge that can take hold of people sometimes, and the reasons why people sort of end up in those situations and how to best get out of it. Those were things we were also talking about.
Nice, man. And what is something that we're going to get into the movie in a quick second. It's two more questions about fatherhood.
Sure.
What is something that your kids have taught you about life or yourself that maybe you knew was there, but once you had kids, it came like into the limelight?
Things that they've taught me. Well, certainly I think patience, you know, you can't be a good parent without a big heaping dose of patience, right? And even just like the process of every little thing, almost the process of learning to tie your shoes, you know, that's a bit of an odyssey, right? And you have to very patiently sort of help them and know when to step back and let them sort of problem solve. And so the idea that you're not just going to kind of take on every problem and solve it yourself, the idea that you're going to help someone else and be very patient in letting someone else sort of stumble and solve their own problems, that is something that I've certainly learned to be better at, I think, hopefully. I'd like to think so anyway, in my life.
Nice. Is there a dad hack or a piece of advice you'd offer to new dads listening to this?
Oh, my gosh. Advice to new dads. Well, the typical one is get sleep wherever you can, whenever you can, you know?
Yep.
And I kind of touched on it already, but the thing that when someone has got about to become a parent for the first time, I kind of embrace them for this idea that you are no longer your biggest priority, you know, and that's the way it's going to be. And that was the thing that I've been most struck by is you're going to learn a new version of selflessness. And you're going to realize, not that it's a bad thing, but you've been living kind of selfishly your whole life, and now that's going to change. And I think it makes you a different person, and hopefully a more complete person.
Nice, man. Really appreciate you sharing that. And again, congrats on the Sea Beast. Definitely enjoyed it. You're no stranger to making fantastic animated movies. You're obviously winning an Academy Award for Big Hero 6. Yeah. But when with this project, what was something that you were maybe able to accomplish or kind of, you know, you mentioned earlier about just, you know, the three generations and all that. But what was something that you looked to maybe, you know, maybe talk about in the forefront, and maybe in other movies you didn't get that chance. But with this one, you kind of like got to, you know, go into a certain type of character development or a storyline or something that you wanted to get into your next project, obviously it being the Sea Beast.
Yeah, I think one of the big things for me was this particular genre, the big action adventure spectacle, that classic adventure story. That was something I'd never done before, and something you don't necessarily associate with feature animation, North American feature animation. But the movies that I loved the most when I was a kid were Raiders of the Lost Ark, King Kong. I grew up loving the old Ray Harryhausen stop motion Sinbad films. The idea of a skeleton with a sword and a shield. I couldn't imagine anything cooler than that. And I remember watching those movies, watching Raiders, and thinking like, boy, it's going to be okay to grow up. I remember this conversation I was having with myself watching Raiders and thinking like, wow, this was made by adults. And they obviously are passionate and love the same kind of things that I love.
Yeah.
And so I can grow up and still love the same things that I love now. That was a big, I think I left the theater changed by that experience, and I very much wanted to make movies and found myself in a position to make a movie that had the personality, of those classic films. And I seized the opportunity, and there, maybe another thing is just I've been fortunate enough to work on some really, big films, but the ambition of this movie, what sort of took it to a new level, just this, the scope of the world, the scale of things, it was even bigger than anything I've ever had a chance to work on in the past. And that was sort of scary, sort of terrifying, but very, exciting and motivating at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Again, congrats, because it's a great story. I think families are going to dig it. And like when you don't watch the movie, you kind of have these ideas that like my wife and I love to talk to our kids about the movie, just the themes and all that. And, you know, everybody takes in art differently. And I also love the fact that you went to see Raiders and like you had the idea of like, it's okay to grow up. And that's like one of the best responses from any movie that, you know, movie going experience. So I love that. But kind of in regards when people leave the theater, you know, obviously this is on Netflix and people check it out. But since you're, you know, the director and all that, is there a certain theme or a couple themes that you hope people will take away from watching this?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I think that this generally, I like the idea that a movie can be about more than one thing. You can take on different themes and they can connect with each other. They can talk to each other, and they can intersect. But it's also good to kind of know what primarily you're saying. And as I mentioned, this idea of the danger of getting into a cycle of violence and aggression was the primary thing. But we got into specific notions of what feeds into those cycles, how to break out of those cycles. And I've heard people articulate different things about what they took away from the movie. One of the things that I've heard cited is this notion that a family is what you make of it. If you decide that this is your family, then it is, and no one can tell you otherwise. And that is certainly present in the film as well. And to me, it's like as the director, I can say what I think it's about. At the same time, once the movie is released and once someone who watches the movie, once they watch the movie, they have their relationship with the film and they can say what they take away from it, what resonates most with them. And that's at that point, their ideas about what the film is about are just as valid as mine, right? And so I invite people to interpret whatever they would like from the film.
Nice, man. Two more questions before I finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And I really enjoy your insight on fatherhood and, of course, the Sea Beast. I'm a big fan of voice acting. I love the fact that, you know, you have a great cast. Talk a little bit about making sure you got the right voices and the right people to voice the characters, sir.
Well, that's a big part of the process as well. And making one of these movies is a years long process. This one, I think, took about 3.5 years. And so we have lots of time to deliberate about every decision you're going to make. But a lot of times you just have an intuition about things. And as soon as all of our cast, when we first brought them up or they first came to our attention or first heard the voices, we were like, I think this is the one, right? So for each of them, they're intuitively that it felt right. And it turned out to be absolutely right. And we were so lucky with our cast. And it's one of those movies now where it'd be very difficult to imagine anyone else playing Jacob or Captain Crow or Maisie or Sarah. They just possess those roles. And we do as kind of a vetting a process sometimes where we will, if we think that we like, for example, Zaris as a possibility to play Maisie and Carl to play Jacob, we will take snippets of their dialogue and just put together a random nonsense conversation. And we'll just take images and drawings of the characters and kind of slam it all together in editorial and watch it and get a sense of what the chemistry might be. And that only validated our initial sort of sense that they were going to be perfect for the parts. And so we went ahead and asked them if they'd like to play the characters and they said yes. And we were off to the races and man, they were great, but they were also really, really good, great actors, but really good people who are fun to work with. And that makes the process a lot easier.
Nice, man. And I really appreciate the time. Let's finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Besides The Sea Beast, favorite family movie, do you guys have one?
Okay, so I have to go past all the movies I've worked on, right?
Yes.
You know what? The my kids really responded, and I really like the movie Wolf Walkers, the hand-drawn film. That was a really great one. I guess it wasn't it's an animated movie, but you wouldn't really consider a family movie. I Lost My Body was one on Netflix that I really, really love. But yeah, I think probably Wolf Walkers was one of the ones that really, I remember my daughter declared that was her favorite movie at that moment. Of course, you know, it changes. Yeah. And upon watching it for the first time, I was like, oh, this is my new favorite movie. And I was like, what about all the movies I worked on? She's like, oh, no, I mean, after all yours, Dad.
Love it. Band or artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to musically? Like, you know, like, hey, kids, check out this song or this band. Do you have one?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was really excited that my daughter connected with Nirvana and the Beastie Boys. Those were two that she really got excited about. And of course, you know, my generation, those were the coolest bands out there, man.
No doubt. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, we've made a tradition of visiting San Francisco every year. And we've gone back to the same hotel. And the nice thing is the only variable that changes is our kids. You know, when we first went there, we were pushing around in little strollers. And now we go there and we've got a teenage daughter and the things we do there are different and they are different. And it's almost like that ritual. So you get to kind of, it reminds you of all the good times you've had with them in the past at different ages. And, yeah. And so I think our family trips to San Francisco have been some of my favorites.
Nice. Two more questions for the Father Quick Five. I found out that you voiced Oaken in Frozen. One of the most like regurgitated lines in a good way in our family. Love it. Is there a character a type of character you'd like to voice next on your next project?
Well, that whole thing was so crazy because it was, I don't consider myself an actor per se, but I had storyboarded that scene and I had just kind of created this character that was based on my Norwegian in-laws. Basically a summation of all of my stereotypes of Norwegians based on my amazing in-laws. And so I was kind of doing this my version of a Norwegian accent when I was presenting the character and everyone really liked it. And so I got to actually perform it in the film, but my Norwegian mother-in-law is quick to point out that it's not a very accurate Norwegian accent. and I accept that note. I take that criticism. As far as other characters, boy, I'll tell you, my range is so limited, that I will just stick with Norwegians, any Norwegian I can play.
Nice. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Oh my gosh. Top three words, hopefully encouraging. You know, I want to be, I always tell them, you know, even when I, when I'm trying to sort of give them a little bit of a coaching about maybe something they could have done differently, I always start by saying, I'm on your side, you know, just reminding them like, this is that we're not opponents here. You know, we're working towards the same thing. We both want you to be happy and to find fulfillment. Right. So hopefully encouragement, hopefully patience, you know, that is, and they might not agree because, you know, that's always, that's always the test, right. Yep. Is how can you let them, find their own way, you know what yes. I mean? And give them that space to succeed and fail their own way, you know, and not rush in and invade and try to course correct constantly, you know? So I think those would be two things. And let's see, I wonder if it's another good word. What, maybe I'm not that good a parent.
No, it's good. Words. No, I think I'll take the reverse. We'll use encouraging and patient. And the other one is like, maybe, you know, you there's a lot of different things you could think about that you'd want them to say. So we'll leave it at that. I know you got a lot of other interviews to do, but I appreciate the time. People, make sure you follow Chris on Twitter at JustChris and check out The Sea Beast on Netflix. It's a great family movie, a lot of adventure, a lot of great themes like we've discussed. And again, I wish you and your family continued success and thank you for the time, sir.
Thank you so much. It's been great. Awesome.
Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.